Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, to Enhancing Awareness Radio and to another episode of the Samuel's Perspective, where reality is honest and truth doesn't need an alibi. I am your host, Craig Samuels. I am an author. I am a lecturer, advisor, some may say mentor, as well as the co-founder and co-administrator of the SEEDS organization. SEEDS is the acronym that stands for Spiritual Enhancement Exchange and Development System. I am very happy, very pleased to be back with you on this Monday evening. I hope I'm finding everyone well. I hope your day has been a good day. For those of you coming off the Easter weekend, some of you may be recovering from that Easter hangover, whatever that looks like for you. However, and nevertheless, I'm glad that you're tuning in, listening to me this evening. I promise that we're going to have some good dialogue. We're going to have fun being serious. I'll put it that way. We're going to have fun being serious. This evening, I want to talk about relationship, but how we approach relationship, the road to relationship. And so I call this message, it's all about the approach. It's all about the approach, the dating process. What is this? What are we going to get into? What are we going to get into? Some discussion about how we've gotten away from the art of courting, how the dating process has been critically altered, and how the approach to one, to making one's acquaintance with the opposite sex has become more of a circus act than a class act. Well, what do you mean, Craig? Well, first of all, before I get started, you know, because I do realize that some people take things out of context and they don't hear what you're saying. They hear what they want to hear. So this is the Samuel's perspective. I want to keep that out in front. If what I'm going to say this evening doesn't fit you, if it's not speaking to you, if the shoe doesn't fit your foot, then relax. Don't go crazy. And don't think that, because we have a tendency to do this, some of us have a tendency to think that what's being said to you is being said to you. And so I want to say, if what I'm going to say this evening doesn't apply to you, then good. Just listen. Because I'm going to share with you a perspective. Why do I say that it's all about the approach? Well, and then also, why do I say this is the lost art, there's the lost art of courting, or the art of courting is lost. We don't see that anymore. Many of us, we meet someone, I'm sure some of you know someone like this. We meet someone and we become so enamored with this person, whether it's how they're built, what they look like. Maybe they got a smooth talk game, honey talk. Maybe it's the car. Whatever the case, we become so enamored with that individual that we forget to take our time to get to know who it is that I'm finding myself interested in. And then what happens is we find ourselves in a compromising situation prematurely. It's like a baby who was born prematurely. That child came before its time. So what happens with that child? He or she has to be incubated for a time until they are strong enough to thrive on their own. But that's what we do sometimes. We don't allow the incubation process when we first meet someone. And then everything else goes out the door because you've given yourself up in whatever capacity too soon. Well, I'm a stickler for conversation. So I'm going to share with you some of the things, some of the points I'm going to make that I feel has caused us to fall away. To fall away from entering into building and maintaining healthy relationships. And those who have spoken to me, especially those of you spoken to me on a regular basis, you know that I am a communicator. You also know that I'm detailed in my communication. I have questions. I'm going to check things out. I'm going to analyze. So yes, I'm very analytical. I want to know who and what I'm dealing with. And I'm going to have some questions like why this or why that, which will open up my eyes to the what. But here's a quote, something that I coined myself, which is this. Communication is to a relationship what blood is to the body, life-giving. And if you remove either one, death will be the inevitable result. I'll say it again. Communication is to a relationship what blood is to the body, life-giving. And if you remove either one, death will be the inevitable result. There are so many different ways to communicate. And the one that we know, the most traditional way is sitting down, talking either face-to-face or over the phone. But consider what I'm going to say to you now. What I'm saying is all about the approach. We've known some very good methods of approach. You have the brother who's smooth and he's competent, so he doesn't have a problem with approaching the female that has caught his eye. You have those who use their material goods as their approach. Maybe they don't have the confidence, so I'll use this Jaguar, or this Benz, or this Lexus to help me push up on her. Maybe it's my job, or all of the above. Whatever the case, there's communication going on. You're communicating to her or to him with either your mouth, your body language, or your material goods. And it depends on who you are, where your standards are, and what you're looking for as to which one is going to be the one that catches your eye or gets your attention or piques your interest. Let's consider some things here carefully. Let's carefully consider the scope of the conversation moment. So let's start off by saying we're going to approach, or the brother is going to approach the sister in just the old-fashioned way and just talking. here are some key components. You have to consider that conversation is the meaningful dialogue that sets the stage for a dynamic interaction, which is a discourse for reasoning. What's going to take place in that conversation? He's going to approach her, and he's going to introduce himself. And he's going to have some confidence. He should have some confidence because that is an energy, and the woman will pick up on that energy. I know a lot of women who says it wasn't what he had that got me. It was his confidence. I can tell he was very confident about himself, and that was appealing to me. That was alluring to me. That's what some women go for, the confidence in that man. That particular conversation sets the forum that can be used in sharing perspectives. That's what communication is all about, sharing your perspectives. It's what I'm doing right now. I'm sharing my perspective with you about it's all about the approach, the dating process. It is a forum that involves a stimulation of passion. Now, there are many different levels of passion, so I'm not talking about, see, we have to also open up our minds, because some terms we automatically impart the definition that we know. So when I say passion, I'm not talking about the passion that we'll see in a steamy movie scene. I'm talking about the passion that the brother or sister may feel in the moment of interaction, of making one's acquaintance. What do we do from there? You be open and honest. If you're really trying to get her attention and you really want her to become interested in you, if you really want there to be a courting process, because we've gotten away from the courting process. We jump straight, some of us jump straight to dating. You don't know a damn thing about who it is you just met. But all of a sudden you're dating. And you haven't given yourself time to even have a conversation, many conversations, so that you know who it is that you're dealing with. Do I even want to have a second conversation with this person? And I'm not talking about whether it's the man or the woman, because as those of you who know me, I have zero tolerance for the battle of the sexes mess. So it's not for the man or against the woman, or for the woman and against the man, because we are both visual creatures. We both see something that we like. And that is what allures us or attracts us. And this is the term attraction. Let me bring some things into play here about the word attraction. You can be attracted to someone, and you can find someone attractive. It's two different things. You can be attracted to someone, and you can find someone attractive. Now, if I'm attracted to someone, then there is an attraction, and I want to know more. I want to know her name. Who is she? What is she like? What are her interests? Because I want to take an interest in her interests too. Maybe we can spark the flame that would ignite the inferno that allow us to come together and build a stairway to heaven, whatever that looks like. Then I can find someone attractive. That doesn't mean that I want her. She's just attractive. Whatever it is, it could be her hair, her face, her shape, her attitude, you know, sweet demeanor, disposition, or all of the above. And you can just find her attractive or him. What other components of conversation? And check this out now. So these, I spent some time talking to people, not just for this, but for this particular broadcast, but just talking to people about talking, about the approach, how we approach one another. You have components like what I call casual discourse. Casual discourse is simply sharing. That equates to authentic, earnest, conversation. What takes place in authentic, earnest conversation? Getting to know one another. Putting certain cards on the table. Not every card, because you want to leave a little mystery. You don't turn over every card. You don't reveal everything. But be authentic. Be earnest. Be yourself. And let me put a pin right there. To some of the brothers that I talked to, a lot of them. And the first thing they say is something, you got to have game. Well, game what? What kind of? Explain to me what game is. Lying to her? Representing yourself in a false narrative, in a false light? What's game? Now, if you ask me what game is, I'm going to say the best game is not to have any game. Oh, man, what you mean don't have no game, Craig? What you mean? What do you mean by that? Don't have no game. That's a simp. That's a sucker who won't have no game. No, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say the best game is not to have any game, what I mean by that is just to be yourself. Be you. Be yourself 100% of the time. If she rejects you or he rejects you, it won't be because you lied. It won't be because you were found out to be a fraud. At least you were being yourself. That's your game. You know what else? Game is having your shit together. So when you approach him or he approaches you, he's got something going for himself. It's all about the approach. He's not coming with his hand stuck out or being needy. She's not coming with her hand stuck out and being needy. That's game. Have some game about yourself in terms of yourself, of your level of self-sufficiency. What do you mean, Craig? Well, there's levels to self-sufficiency. You have the teenage kid, and just let me stray off just for a minute to explain the levels of self-sufficiency. That teenage kid coming out of high school, or maybe he or she is still in high school, who wants their own money. They decide, hey, I'm going to go get a job, whether it's at Walmart, Costco, McDonald's, Burger King, what have you. They are now sustaining themselves on that level of self-sufficiency in the form of a McDonald's check. They'll work there for a little longer, and let's say, for instance, they go to school. Now I have an associate's degree. They can leave McDonald's and enter and go somewhere on an entry-level position that pays them more money. Another level of self-sufficiency. Now they have the bachelor's, if that's the route they decide to take. Now they have their bachelor's and their master's. They've now went up another level of self-sufficiency. There has been an ascension in their level of self-sufficiency. So that's what I'm talking about, game. This is the game they have about themselves. This is the person who wants to better themselves. So if and when the time comes where someone approaches them or they decide to approach someone, the game is on point. The game of what? Self-sufficiency, not having to portray myself as something I'm not, to try to get you to be interested in me. That's a sucker. That's the weak cat. Even the one who doesn't have any substance about himself but tries to get next to you, and I keep saying he, but I'm talking about both of us. I'm talking about him and her. Well, I have to use my clothes. I have to use my... That's nothing wrong with being clean, because I like to be clean. But if that's all you have, then you are a shallow individual, if that's all you have to go on. So components of conversation, as I get back on track here, you're talking about celebratory discourse as well. Celebratory discourse says take time to show appreciation or share your appreciation. Follow me. You have the critique discourse as well. Honest input from someone who cares, i.e. constructive criticism. That is what I call critique discourse or critical discourse. And then you have the challenging discourse. And this is that which comes from what we call a leader, but I don't want to throw that term out there because I think the term has been watered down and left so impotent that it's just limp and has no life at all. So let's throw the term leader out the window. We can look at maybe someone you consider a peer, a mentor, or even your parents who challenges you to step up your game. So when it comes time for you to approach someone, your game is tight. The game of what? The game of you. The game of substance. The game of authenticity. The game of I'm going somewhere. The game of I got myself together, but I ain't through yet. The game of I'm more than my house and my car and my bank account. Because if all of those things dissipated, and they sometimes do, what do you have left? So, Craig, I thought you was going to talk about how we approach. I am. I'm just taking this route to it. I'm just taking this route. Too many of us are looking for a sex partner instead of an empowering partner. And that's how we end up in trouble. Because the approach, as I've said countless times before, often goes like this. Brother sees a sister, maybe in the club, maybe he's in the bar. He sees a sister sitting at the bar. Now, he doesn't know a damn thing about her. She doesn't know anything about him either. So what could he possibly see that draws him to her? Because he can't be drawn by her intellect. How in the hell is it going to sound like, hey, baby, look here. I was standing over there. You know, I couldn't help to see that you were sitting here looking all smart and shit. And I just wanted to come over here and, you know, maybe you can break down from a quantum physics aspect of how the lighting in this room goes off and on and then shines. You know what I'm saying? Some bullshit. No, that's not why. You don't know a damn thing about her intellect. What you do see is that pretty face. What you do see are those breasts. What you do see is that behind, those thick thighs. What you do see is her looking at you, licking her lips and shit. You understand what I'm saying? That's what attracts you. Be honest about that. So then from there, it's all about your approach. What are you after? And then consider where you are. Now, am I saying, is anything wrong with meeting people in the club? No. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what this is about. It's about how we approach each other and your motive. What are you after? Who do you want? What are you going to say to this female or to this woman, to this man, because some women out here are bold enough and confident enough in themselves to approach a man as well. I actually find that sexy. Maybe some of you think otherwise, but I find that sexy for a woman who knows who she is and sees what she wants and doesn't have a problem going for it or going after it. So we want to know why you're approaching and be honest with yourself about what you see. That's what attracted you in the first place. You were attracted by what you saw, and that's okay. Because as the saying goes, men are visual creatures. Well, I'll take it a step further and say that women are too. What else do you think attracts you to a person that causes you to approach them? I just gave an example. I've never seen you before, but here you are, and we can say lightning bolts and thunder and earthquakes and everything move when I first saw you. All that can happen, but you still don't know anything about the person you see. What has attracted you is what you see. You see those broad shoulders on that brother. You get to whisper into your girlfriends. You see that he's dressed nice. You see that he looks good. You see that he walks, you know, like a prince, like a king, and everything about him that you see has caused you to want to know more. It's all about the approach. How do you approach him? Do you approach him with your anatomy? Do you approach him from the neck down, or do you approach him from the neck up? Same thing with the brother. Do you approach her looking from her cleavage down, or do you approach her looking in her eyes, letting her know that she's more than just a few body parts? And let's just say the conversation goes well and you exchange phone numbers. What are you looking to do from there? How serious are you about this person? Which goes back to motive. How serious are you about him? You gave him your phone number. I told a sister, I don't know, a week or so ago, 2 weeks maybe. I said, you know, sometimes the sisters should stop and say, you know what, I am interested, but I'm not going to give you my phone number. But what we can do is meet at the coffee house or the coffee shop around the corner, and we can sit there and have dialogue. Now, before some of you say, I don't know him to be meeting him nowhere, we should meet him in the club or in the grocery store, whatever the case may be. You're simply meeting him again in another public arena. And talk to this brother. Brother, talk to her. Find out who it is you're dealing with versus talking on the phone. I say that for several reasons, because especially for the sisters, you don't want to find out that this is a chump that you gave your phone number to, and now you got a chump who keeps calling you and texting you all damn day and all damn night, somebody you don't really want to be bothered with. Why did I say meet? Because you can ascertain from the meeting and the conversation whether or not you want to go on any further. This is called taking your time. This is called taking your time. What's the rush? Now, again, my perspective. It's safe, and it can save you some headaches, too. Because I know those of you who are listening, sisters, I know those of you who are listening, this has happened to you, and you regret giving this clown your phone number. So it's just something that you can consider. Hey, you know, yes, you know what? Fine. Yeah, I like to have coffee with you. How about we meet at the Starbucks around the corner and have your conversation? And while you're having your conversation, you can ascertain whether or not you want to have another one. That's what the dating process is about. First date or first courting session. You should be determining whether or not you want to have a second one. Look for red flags. Is he saying the same thing on Tuesday that he told you on Monday? Is she saying the same thing on Tuesday that she told you on Monday? I'm going to get to the different types of liars in a minute. The dating process. It's all about the approach. The approach also includes brothers who don't find it necessary to pull their pants up all the way on their ass. But you want to approach a sister of substance. And a sister of substance is not going to give this guy the time of day. Now, I'm sure I'm going to step out here and just be presumptuous for a minute. Hope I don't regret it. And just say that I don't believe any of the men who are watching me are walking around here with their pants hanging below their buttocks. And if you do, stop it. Pull your pants up. And nobody wants to see your drawers and the crack of your ass. And then you got the nerve to talk about, hey, baby, what's your name? Her name is Get Your Ass Out of My Face Until You Learn How to Pull Your Pants Up, Fool. That's what my name is. It's all about the approach. It's all about the approach also in demeanor. What's coming out of your mouth when you approach this? And I keep going to the brothers because it's usually the brothers that approaches the women. What are you saying and how are you saying it? What are you saying, and how are you saying it? What are you doing to get her attention? Do you have the conversation it takes to stimulate her mind and pique her interest? Several women, and one in particular I talk to a lot, that is something that floats her boat, if you will. It's not the only thing, but it's one component. Stimulating conversation. So, fellas, what are we saying? How are you approaching these women who may be looking for the same thing you're looking for, too, but they don't want to just get it with anyone, and you shouldn't either? So how are we approaching? Are we approaching with our confidence? Are we approaching with respect? Are we approaching with self-respect and self-dignity? Not just having respect for her, approaching her in a respectful manner, but you carry yourself in a respectful manner, in a dignified manner. Because she sees that. And that's attractive too. She's not only seeing, you know, that you built well, that you dress well, that you smell good, but when you open your mouth, you got some sense, and she wants to know more. And you may just get to know more. Now, I don't mean that in a physical way. That's later on down the line. And those who knew me back when would probably be surprised hearing me speak like this today. Was because I'm not the person I was yesterday. Today, meeting a woman, getting between her legs will be the last thing on my mind. It's a dime a dozen. That's easy. Not saying she's easy. I'm saying it's easy to get sex. What I want to know is what's going on between your ears. And that's how Craig would approach. I would approach from an intellectual perspective, not an academic intellectual perspective, but speaking like I got some damn sense, like I do now. Now, mind you, I will be authentic in my approach. Because if I'm pure and I'm authentic and I'm genuine and I'm just being me, then I don't have to worry about some bullshit I told her tomorrow should we talk again. See, liars have to have great memory. Who has time for that? Who has time for that? It's all about the approach on what's going to happen next. It's all about the approach of who she talks to about you the night that she goes home and picks up the phone and calls her girlfriend and talks about this wonderful guy or this asshole who approached her. I said we were going to talk about the different types of people who approach. Let's talk about the liar and the different types of liars. Let's talk about the person who is not sure of themselves. Why they lie, who is insecure, who has a false sense of self-worth, who is lackadaisical in their personal growth and development. They won't do anything to help themselves, so I have to lie in order to get your attention. And portray myself in a light that has dim wattage. People lie because they believe that the lie forges them an advantage that the truth will not give them. Now consider this. You have your meticulous liar. Your meticulous liar, he or she, they are going to think things through. Then you have your misleading liar. Your misleading liar lies to create a false perception. And stop right there and go back to the first one. Meticulous liar. You know people who are meticulous? everything has to have a place. You won't find a speck of dust nowhere. I mean, it's clean. They're meticulous about themselves. They're meticulous about their behavior. I mean, everything about them is meticulous. You get in their car, and it's just everything, wood grain, shining leathers. I mean, meticulous. Well, that's the same energy that type of person will put into lying to you. Don't think it through. It's pathological. Then you have the misleading liar, like I just said, who lies to create a false perception. Well, guess what? All lying is a false perception. I'm just giving you some fancy components to consider. Then you have your malicious liar, who intentionally lies to hurt others. Then you have your misfortunate liar. Lies under pressure rather than face the truth. Let's look at that one. Lies under pressure rather than face the truth. How often do we see that? How often do we see that? And this is the attitude that a brother or sister will approach you with. Well, Craig, well, what do you think should be done? Well, I'm glad you asked. I think upon approaching someone, you should already have a clear motive as to what you're approaching them for. Now, 9.9 times out of 10, it's because of how they look to you. It's a physical attraction. There's nothing wrong with that. Men and women have been doing it for eons, being attracted to each other physically until they come together and have a conversation and find out that, hey, he stimulates me with his conversation. I had a sister who told me one time, or more than one time, she says, your thoughts make me high. That was one of the best compliments I'd ever received. She said, my thoughts make her high. And that I have an intellectually stimulating conversation. Now, it's all about the approach. What was also stimulating is listening to her input during the conversation. It's all about the approach. It's the dating process when we meet each other and we find that we like each other enough to want to meet again. Are you putting your cards on the table on a need-to-know basis, or are you withholding things and playing your joker every time you turn around, every time you come together face-to-face, every time you pick up the phone and talk? You are the joker, and then you have someone who's serious about you. But you are playing the joker. It's all about the approach. It's all about the motive, too. And it's all about, what do I see when I look down the corridors of time as it relates to you? We have to consider that our thoughts also is the last realm of my privacy. Our thoughts are the last realm of our privacy. And if I open my thoughts up and share them with you, then there must be something significant about you, unique about you. That when you approach me or I approach you, I open up to you in that capacity, to that magnitude, that I will open up my mind and allow my thoughts to liquidate and become words. Now here we are intertwined in each other's breath. listening to each other's heartbeat, looking into each other's eyes, wondering, if this is the case, where in the hell you been? It's all about the approach. Now, even in rejection, and I said it already, even if he or she says, thank you, but no thanks, I appreciate the compliment, but, you know, I got a man or I got a woman, I'm married or what have you, or, you know, I'm not looking for anyone right now, whatever they tell you, at least you can walk away with your head held high, dignified because you were authentic in your approach, genuine in your approach. And when you open your mouth, it was authentic and it was genuine. But it won't be because you told a lie. Sometimes, because we have itches that we like scratched, and we live in this microwave society, we want what we want when we want it, and we allow our desires to override our common sense. So when someone does approach us, there's a sense of urgency. Now, consider that word urgency. When I use the term emergency, you hear urgency as well. And emergencies don't come with a warning. They just emerge. And when they do, now you're in an urgent situation. Like when it starts to rain and the sun is out, you don't have an umbrella. You're out there with your shorts on and flip-flops or whatever you're doing, and then bam, clouds, and then rain, bam, you're stuck. That's an emergency. You don't have an umbrella. You're in an urgent situation. You're trying to get somewhere dry. Well, consider that same scenario when you get into a situation with someone that you've met. It's all about the approach. Did you give yourself time to learn who it is who's approached you? Or are you so desperate that you ignore the red flags and you go all the way, whatever that looks like, only to regret it weeks later or months later? What happened to the courting? What happened to going to the movies? What happened to taking walks in the park, getting ice cream, holding hands? Yeah, I'm old school. What happened to sending her flowers? Just because, especially in the interim. What happened to sending a song? Love songs in the back of the day. Those of you who understand what I'm talking about, you remember the stylistics. I bet you, by golly, wow, you're the one that I've been waiting for forever. Come on. What happened to songs like, the Temptations, Just My Imagination? Send her one of those songs and let her know that you're on her mind, that she is on your mind in this way, and let the song speak to her. What happened to that? That, you know why? I'll tell you what happened to it. That's considered punkish and soft. And a lot of it has to do with the attitude of the women today. Uh-oh, here he go, talking about the women. I hope that's not the attitude that's listening to me. Because again, like I said, if it's not about you, if it doesn't pertain to you, then let it fly. This is the Samuel's Perspective. Some, again, like I said, some women would have it to be so because the standard is so low. And then the brothers haven't been taught anything because there wasn't a man around who had any type of substance to himself, any type of game about himself. And you heard what I call game. I ain't talking about that bullshit that you hear somebody, trying to come at you and your sisters, you know what I'm talking about, the dude at the corner store trying to holler at you with that weak-ass shit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a brother who is sure of himself and who has something going on for himself, and he steps to you like a man. It's all about the approach. And yes, he may be driving the Benz, but that's not what he's trying to use to get your attention. That's just a status symbol. That says he works hard to get his credit together so he can drive a Benz. And he sees you and steps to you. And not only does he step to you, but he steps to you like a man. And when that happens, you should respond like a woman, not a little girl. you should respond like a woman, not a little girl. You get talk about this love thing, and you know, so what happens, you know, well, I love him, I love her, and, you know, and all of this is still tying, and I'm going to tie it all together, but I'm just throwing some things out here because this is the reality that we're faced with. This is the conversation that I've had and has, you know, about especially those from, now I'm not talking about those of you who are in relationships or you're married or you got a solid, significant other, male or female. I'm not talking to you, but I'm sure you have something to add. You can think back on how you met your wife or your husband or your boo. Single people, I'm talking to you mainly. We tossed that, as I talked about last week in Last of a Dying Breed, about love, and we tossed terms around. Consider this, people. Love without truth is not love. But one can say that truth without love is not truth. I beg to differ. Truth without love is still the truth. But love without truth is not love. This makes you convenient strangers. One of you is trying to get over on the other. One of you is a convenience for the other. And it depends on your level of desperation on whether or not you will allow yourself to continue to be treated in that manner. Some women, and I know many, past and present, who would take any type of joker as long as they got a pair of drawers in the hamper, just to say, I got a man. Miserable as they can be, but I got a man. I've met some brothers the same way. Temper don't know how to do right, and if you started talking to her about doing right, she might stab you, but I love her. What happened to the approach? Who approached who? How did we get here to where you would cut me if I asked for some act right? Dating process. It's okay to take your time. It's also okay to pay attention to the red flags because they're red for a reason. It's called warning. Warning. Run. He has 18 kids with 9 big baby mamas, and they all crazy. But you ain't had a man in 6 months, and you hotter than the 4th of July, and you got to have some. And I heard he put it down so good. And then you just become one of the hens. Because you. What is it about the approach for busters that women fall for the buster conversation? I'm looking at the approach on both sides. I'm looking at the positive approach that blossoms, and I'm looking at the approach where people end up in dire straits called relationship. It's really not a relationship. It's a situationship. Complicationship. What happens? Some of us, become so lackadaisical, emotionally lackadaisical, we become too lazy to do what we need to do to build ourselves up, to reintroduce ourselves to self-respect and to some dignity, to have some standards, so that when we are approached, if this person doesn't meet our criteria, you have given yourself permission to say it's okay to say no. Well, Craig, what do you think should be done? And I keep saying that because that's what people say in my conversations. What do I think should be done after I've told them what the hell to do? Or at least consider doing it. I'm not an expert. I'm just going to be my authentic real self. If I see someone who has piqued my interest, I'm going to present myself as myself. She won't meet a representative for what? She's going to meet me. And then you have the brother out here who is getting killed with child support and mad about it. But when someone was trying to talk to him and trying to tell him, this is what you're doing, man, and this is what's going to end up happening if you don't slow down. But now here he is in a situation where he got to work three jobs just to keep a roof over his head and some clothes on his back and food on the table, his own table, and especially if he has another family. And he's in that situation because he wasn't thinking with his big head. And because you're not thinking with your big head, you end up losing your little head. Figuratively and literally. Mess around and catch something from throwing your testicles out there on the crap table of life and come up snake eyes. Now you're in trouble. I took this platform when it was offered to me because I wanted to talk about things of a real nature, real life. Not saying that anything else out there is not real, but talking about everyday things that people deal with. And some of us have learned how to become socially ambidextrous. And some of us need to learn how to become socially ambidextrous. You better know how to move and use more than one thing. Are you leading with your vagina? Are you leading with your penis? And if so, that's a recipe for disaster. Because if you're leading with that thing between your legs to get him, and that's all you got, when the newness, when the excitement of the newness of that situation wears off, and you ain't got nothing else to offer, he's going to be gone. If your claim to fame is what you can do with that thing between your legs, and that's all you bring to the table, you're going to be in trouble. Same thing with you too, brother. I don't care if it is down to your kneecaps. You're going to have to do something with that. Eventually, she's going to want more than having her back broke. How did we get here? It's all about the approach. What did you settle for in the approach? What did you ignore in the approach? How did the dating process become such a circus act versus a class act? The class act with a woman who is a woman, who is a lady, and carries herself as such. Now you want to talk about the law of attraction? We can talk about it right here. That woman is not going to attract a clown. A clown is not even going to approach her. Whole different attitude, whole different demeanor, whole different energy. He knows he can't approach her. But that other dude, he can approach her and walk away with her. It's all about the approach. What are you settling for? Well, you said dating and courting. Which comes first? Well, you got the chicken or the egg. That's a chicken or the egg type of situation. Well, which one comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I'll say this. One produces the other that produces another. One produces the other that produces another. So courting. You can start off courting. I'm courting her. I'm trying to get her to the place where I can take her on a date. Right now, we're just talking on the phone every night. But at least in my approach, I got this far. And when the dating process begins and she says, okay, I will Yeah, I'll let you take me out. Yeah, we can go to the movies. Yeah, we can go and have dinner. Yes, we can go listen to a live band. Yes, we can do those things. Now the process of dating has begun because you took your time to get to know who it is you're dealing with. You begin to like this individual enough to want to talk to them again the next day, to want to go out on a second date and a third date, and pretty soon you're introducing them to your friends and your family. The process. Not letting between your legs the 2 hours after you met his ass, and then you all in love because you can have multiple orgasms and you're introducing them to everybody in your family, Big Mama and the dog too, only for 3 months later to find out you can't stand his ass. And he can't stand you either. Why? Because the only thing you had in common was between the sheets. You didn't know a damn thing about each other. And now you're mad, and he ain't shit, and she ain't either. You know why? Because the approach was off. It started wrong. You led with your vagina and your ass. You led with your penis and your hormones, because that's all you saw her as. And you, young lady, you lowered yourself to that standard. But you want to be called a queen. You want to be called a king. Queens don't ride on wicked witch broomsticks. I said it. Queens don't ride on broomsticks. And kings don't spread their seed throughout the kingdom with everything he sees. A king has some dignity, some self-respect. He has honor for himself. And when he comes in contact with someone he views as a queen, he won't have to try to honor her because he is full of it himself. He is full of respect himself. He is full of dignity himself, and it emanates from him, and she will pick that up. So guess what's going to happen? Chemistry, synergy, vibration. You hear what I'm saying? Versus two people who won't give themselves a chance to learn one another and end up doing what we all do because we're so sex-driven, and I say it again, too many are looking for a sex partner instead of an empowering partner. Don't you want someone who will empower you by other ways than just bending you over and making you come a whole bunch of times? When it's over, when that's all said and done, what you got left? That's a dime a dozen. Do you not want someone to empower you? Someone who approaches you with the mindset of empowerment and wants to share that with you? Now, some of us are too damn ghetto and ratchet and ignorant as hell that we can't see a good thing when it slaps the shit out of us right in our face. And we think that beauty is supposed to give us everything we want, and that goes for both sides. Oh, yeah, I'm fine, and I'm with my cornrows, and yeah, I bench press 380, and yeah, but you can't spell your goddamn name. You ain't got nothing else going on other than what you do at the gym and the heifers that you're hitting in the hood. Is that it? And you have the nerve to try to approach someone with your midget mindset and get mad if they don't give you the time of day because they see that you are a midget. Yeah, you're 6'2", but you're still a midget. Same thing goes for the sister. He sees that you're a midget. He sees that you don't want nothing other than what money can buy. It's all about the approach. See, when I say all about the approach, I'm not just talking about how I approach you. I'm talking about after the approach as well. Where do we go from there? Are we on the same page? If I'm the visionary and I have a CEO mindset and it's dripping through my pores, you better have the mindset of co-CEO, CFO, COO, because we're going to build some stuff together. And we can have a Bonnie and Clyde in the socioeconomic development of our lives. We can be a real, true power couple. I'm going to take a break here in just a minute. And then I'm going to come back and talk about how we treat each other in relationship. And then I'll conclude. So I'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes. Thank you for those of you who are still listening and tuned in. I thought, again, because I said right before intermission that I was going to come back and talk about how we treat each other, and I thought the song would be appropriate as a segue into this into the second half, Treat Her Like a Lady. But that's not just for the fellas. It's for the sisters as well. If he's treating you like a lady, give him a reason to treat you like a lady and to continue treating you like a lady. And it doesn't have to be hard. We just make it hard because some of us are so damn selfish. And we want what we want without giving anything back. There's no reciprocity. And that's not how this thing goes. We have to also consider that your seed can be corrupted by the arrogance of your own imagination. I'll say it again. Your seed can be corrupted by the arrogance of your own imagination. That means you are so self-absorbed that you can't see nothing else but what you want. You can't feel nothing else but how you feel. And that is short-lived because you're emotionally destitute. It's all about you and what you want. You don't give a damn how no one else feels or thinks. And you pacify yourself with I don't care attitude, because if you care enough, then that means you have to start looking at yourself and making the necessary adjustments so you won't become people repellent. But that's too much like right. And that's another term that we have, or problem, I'd say, is many of our problems when it comes down to relationship stems from our insatiable need to always be right. Got to be right. And some of us pay too much attention to what other people say, think, and feel about who it is who's approaching you or who has approached you. And if you decide to give this person a chance, look here. Because your girlfriend wouldn't give him a chance don't mean you don't give him a chance. Damn her. You better stop letting outside influence sway your decision. You miss your Mr. Right standing right in front of you because her ass is jealous. If you give attention to your critics, you have given power to your enemy, and your best friend can be your critic and your enemy. You better open your eyes. Keep sitting here, sisters, my Mr. Right. Well, shit, about 18 of them have approached you in the last 2 years, and you shut them all down because you listened to some heifer who don't want you to have a man. Same thing with you, brother. Stop listening to them brothers who are bitter and divorced and I'll never get married again, and all women are bitches and hoes. It wasn't no bitch and hoe when you had her bent over. She wasn't a hoe then. And if she was, what does that say about you? You probably got with her because the word was out that she's a hoe. Easy hit. What does that say about you? So stop it. Stop it. It's all about the approach. Do you know what the most important approach is before you approach someone? Is the approach to yourself. Who are you? What are you about? What do you have to offer? What do you have to offer yourself? Because it's you that have to live with your conscience. It's you. You have to live with you. And if you don't like you, damn, you better get some therapy, because you're going to be with yourself for the rest of your life unless you decide to take yourself out. And I hope that doesn't happen. You see, when we start getting into these type of conversations, truth comes up, because we have to look at ourselves. And again, if it doesn't apply to you, then I'm not talking to you. But truth creates a stink when hidden funk is exposed. Truth creates a stink when hidden funk is exposed. What's funky about you? What's funky about your approach? What's funky about those who are approaching you? Or are you ignoring the stench? See, some of us talk a good game. We talk a good game, but we have semen but no sperm. We have liquid and no life. Semen and no sperm, liquid and no life. You produce spit, and life doesn't come from spit. And everything about your approach is false. Pseudo. Because you have semen but no sperm and liquid but no life. You're going to need some sperm in your approach. You're going to need some life added to your liquid. And to those who project their personal preferences onto others, let me tell you this. Get some business with your controlling attitude. type of individual and that mentality stems from a shallow understanding or a lackadaisical mindset that renders this type of individual too mentally lazy to raise up to a higher level of comprehension. And it starts with themselves. And if they see you moving in that capacity, they see you approaching and getting approached, and a liquid is a life is being applied to your situation, semen and sperm is being applied to your situation, and there's a birthing that is manifesting and coming to fruition for all to see. They don't like that. Check your circle. I talked about cliques last week. We'll keep talking about it too. Some of us have either abandoned or have never experienced the spirit of intimacy. I'll say it again. Some of us have either abandoned or have never experienced the spirit of intimacy. You know why? Because when some of us, when someone tries to tell you about it or show it to you through the authentic fires of love, and I'm going to get back to that thing called love and contrast that with like as well, because I keep hearing some shit about loving and liking, and it's bothering the hell out of me. But some of you can't even fathom the concept of the spirit of intimacy because of dissonance. You can't hear anything that supersedes the circumference of your understanding. Well, Craig, what do we do about that? Well, there's a remedy for dissonance. It's called resolution. The opposite of dissonance is resolution. Dissonance, another term for that, is tension. Why are you so tense? What's causing, it's the attention that's causing the mental blockages that's preventing you from getting to where you want to be so you can be approached by someone with authenticity, someone with substance, or that you can approach someone because you feel everything that you need to feel, and you have that aura of confidence about yourself. You're not unsure because what you think and how you feel isn't based on what someone did to you yesterday or what your friends are thinking. It's all about the approach, the dating process. The dating process is just that. It's a process. But many of us skip steps in the process, and we end up paying the consequences later. Why? Because we skip steps in the process. First process, and it's the same component, the most important, that will have to go, that will have to be present throughout the entire tenure of the relationship, is communication. You wouldn't have to start with that until one of you put the other in the ground. We have to, and let's just say you make it to the place where you become exclusive with one another. You have now reached the plateau of exclusivity. You are my woman and I'm your man. I'm not seeing anybody else, and you better not be either. Yeah. And then one day, we have wedding bells, and we move on, and we're doing fine in the beginning. We're doing fine in the middle, but somewhere along the line, we stumble. Why? Because somewhere along the line, the communication has been compromised. Somewhere along the line, somebody has stopped listening, or both of you have. Also, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to find out what you did that caused you to not consider all the other possibilities, the possibilities that can bring you back together on one accord. That, too, is about the approach. I have to reapproach this man or this woman that I've been knowing for 10 years. Right, because we can get comfortable. we get too familiar sometimes, and we start taking each other for granted. Do you know what that is? Disrespect. It's disrespect, and you may not be doing it intentionally, but that's because the flair and the glare and the romance has gone out of your situation, and you need to learn how to keep the honey in the honeymoon. You have to remember how to engage each other and how to interact with each other. Just because you've made it to 10 years doesn't mean that you stop doing the things you did in the beginning to get her or him and to keep them. Again, semen, no sperm, liquid, no life. Got to turn that around. Add life to your liquid and add some sperm to the semen. And become commanding communicators. One to another. Approach each other like with the respect that you would have anyone else approach them. Brothers, you wouldn't want anyone to approach your wife, your woman, in a manner that you wouldn't approach them. That could be a situation where it could be off with your head. And it should be. Sister, you wouldn't want anyone else to approach your man in a manner that you wouldn't, so you don't do it either. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have no disagreements, what I call a little heated fellowship. Sure, you're going to have that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm still talking about approach, and it matters how you approach it, too. Are you breaking windows and cutting up clothes and setting shit on fire and flattening tires and windshields? Are you applying the stupid tax to your life? Because somebody have to pay for all the shit you broke in your emotional tantrum. How are you approaching it? How are you approaching it? Treat her like a lady is the song you heard in the intermission. And I don't know how old those of you who are listening are. I don't know. I'm a Temptations fan. I'm an old school guy. And I believe in the old school rules. I still apply the old school rules and the people that I deal with, both male and female. And that goes for the music that I listen to as well. I can't get with none of this shit I'm talking about today. Everybody's getting high. Everybody's screwing everybody. I can't get with it. Sorry. But not really. It's all about the approach, the dating process. Who are you dating right now? Or who is it that you want to date right now? Who is it that you have your eye on, or who you think has their eye on you? Whoever it is, what are you going to do about it? Whoever it is, you should be getting something in your mind from an authentic place of how to approach them if they don't approach you first. Be creative. Wow her. Wow him. Let the wow factor precede you. And be confident in your approach. And be real in your approach. Who wants, nobody wants a joker. Nobody wants a slut either. But we all say we want to be happy. Well, what are you willing to do to arrive to that place with the person that you see that you may be interested in? You can't be selfish. A self-absorbed person is incapable of serving. And what I mean by serving is themselves. Their presentation will be off. Presentation. There's another word. Let me give you an example. If I invite you to my home, let's say we've been talking, and now I know a few things about you. And I invite you to my home. I know your favorite drink. I know your favorite food. I know your favorite movie. I know your favorite color. I know your favorite flower. And you're coming to my home for dinner. Listen to me now. I'm talking about presentation. Approach. Approach. connect the dots now. Approach and presentation. They follow one another. And so now I got some Grover Washington Jr. playing in the background. Candles are lit. The ambiance is on point in my home. I got your favorite dish. It's all ready, and then you arrive. I hear a knock at the door, and I open the door, and there you are standing in all your magnificent splendor. And I invite you in, and I take your coat, and I ask you to have a seat. And then I present you with a drink. And conversation ensues, and I'm putting the last touches on the meal that you said is your favorite dish, and I'm excited, and I have tulips on the table because you said that's your favorite flower, and I have purple asters in the background of the tulips because that's my favorite flower. Proceed. And I invite you to sit at the table where I'm going to present you with your favorite dish. And here it comes. I present you with your favorite dish, but it's on a garbage pail lid. It's on a garbage pail lid, not on the nice china that I have. I presented your favorite dish to you on a garbage can lid. Now, what are you going to do with that? The ambiance is dead. The candles don't matter. To hell with the music. This fool and lost his mind. My approach killed everything. My presentation killed everything. There won't be a second chance, because if you presented my favorite dish to me, regardless of how good it smells, regardless of how good it looks, if you presented my favorite dish to me on a garbage can lid, I will probably knock it out of your hand and ask you, what the hell is on? Are you high? Presentation. Approach. I did everything else right in setting it up. I was smooth in setting the stage. I used all the ingredients of my old school smoothness intact. But I dropped the ball in my presentation. I dropped the ball in my approach. That was a red flag, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that was a red flag? What do you think that sister would do? So you take that, what I'm saying, and apply that to how we approach when we're out. Now, you may see a fine sister at Family Dollar. You may see a fine brother out at Walmart, wherever you are, wherever you are. What's in your presentation? Because it's all about the approach. And the same, or as the saying goes, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. What's in your presentation? Because it's all about the approach. And if your approach is on point, you can begin the dating process. You can begin the dating process. And in the process of dating, continue doing what you've been doing. And you won't have a problem with that because it was real from the beginning. Stop trying to screw everything you see when you see it. Sister, stop leading with your ass and your vagina. Because, again, if that's all you have, you're going to be in trouble. Can you make a biscuit? Because Suzette around the corner can cook her ass off and got her eye on your love interest. Do you have a problem with being domestic? Oh, you do? Because he likes a clean house. Do you have a problem with anything that requires you to operate in a domestic role? And that's and please don't take what I'm saying out of context. I'm not saying a woman's place is in the house. Hell no. I don't believe that. What I'm saying is what I'm saying. So hear it like I'm hearing it. And as a matter of fact, don't hear me with your ears because you can't. You're going to have to open your mind to hear what I'm saying. You're going to have to open your mind to be able to hear me. It's a problem too.
Are you creative in your approach? I heard someone say that creativity often shrouds revelation. Yeah, I heard that saying. It didn't make no damn sense to me. I'll tell you why. Because creativity is revelatory. In your creative ability or in your creative endeavors, are you not revealing something through your creative prowess? So what are you thinking about when you see her and you can't go another day or leave the spot that you're in without at least making her acquaintance? In your mind, you can be creative in how you're going to approach her. And keep in mind, don't lie. Hell, if you drive a forklift, damn it, you drive a forklift, you're employed. Same thing with the sisters. Be you. He wants to learn about who you are, not who you're presenting to him. That's not you. Take that mask off. So, yeah, creativity doesn't shroud revelation. Creativity is revelatory. It reveals. Another thing I want to say is immaturity. That's something I see a lot. I'm sure you, those of you who are listening, y'all do too. Immaturity will cause you to get trapped. What do you mean, Craig? What do you mean? How can immaturity cause me to fall into a trap? You can fall into a trap in your own ignorance, in your own immaturity. What do you think causes immaturity? Lack of exposure, lack of teaching. So there's still an adolescent behavior that you adhere to, and you're emotional. And you can get trapped in that mind frame, in that disposition, which could cause you to become a professional X. A professional X. That means you are prolific at becoming an X somebody, an ex husband, an ex wife, an ex boyfriend, an ex employee, an ex girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, an X. You're prolific in it. We have to constantly evolve in what we do, because evolution is synonymous with the daily renewing of your mind. Now, I'm not being biblical here, because that's not a biblical proverb. It's not a biblical affirmation. Evolution is synonymous with the daily renewing of the mind. So if your mind is being renewed daily, then you should be growing. You should be rising and ascending in your understanding. And in so doing, when you meet someone or when someone approaches you and is speaking to you reasonably, you won't act a damn fool. But then complain about not having anybody. That's counterproductive. Don't you think? Some of us, well, I've been hurt so many times and I'm afraid to let anybody approach me. Those of you who have been hurt, I understand I've been hurt too. I know I've been hurt too. But at what point are you going to allow yourself to start healing? Because until you do, you will sabotage every good thing or every potentially good thing that approaches you. And you won't even know it because you sabotage it. In order for you to get to the next level of yourself, you're going to have to be okay with your scars. Because your scars are necessary. They're a reminder of where you came from and what you've been through. The scars on your mind, the scars on your heart, and maybe the scars on your body as well. It'll be necessary so that you will know who to let approach and who not to let you approach, or who not to let approach you. Who to approach, who to allow to approach, and who not to allow to approach. I think I said it right. That's necessary as well. because a proper dating process with two people being upfront with one another will land you into a situation where you can begin the process of building a healthy relationship. Scars and all. Scars and all. Learn from the scars. What did you learn from the scar? We can form, and I said this, I'm going to say it, but we can form, we being whoever it is, we, there's that word again, you've heard me use several times, we is a powerful word. It's an inclusive word. It's a pluralistic word. So me and my sister, me and a sister, we can come together and form a bond and a unity and have a chemistry and a synergy between us that's so hot that we set the world on fire and cook the atmosphere because that's how we roll. How did that happen? What did you just say? We just set the world on fire and cook the atmosphere. You damn right. That's what I said. And leave everybody wondering, what in the hell did they get into? What's going on with them? You know what's going on with us? A healthy approach. I respect her and she respects me. I'm honest with her and she's honest with me. We both have a game plan and we're moving together with CEO mindsets and vision and visionary. She feeds off me and I feed off her. She looks out for me and I look out for her. She protects me and I protect her. And I keep outside influences that don't have our best interests outside. That's why we're so hot that we can set the world on fire and cook the atmosphere. Do you hear me, Lizelle? Do you hear me? Lizelle. I know you do. Love without truth is not love. Which brings me to the last point I want to make before I close out. Because I keep hearing I can love someone and not like them. That's putting the cart before the horse. Whether you think so or not is not my concern. I'm going to tell you how. You can't love somebody and not like them. How are you going to love me and not like me? When like precedes love, I'm still talking about it's all in the approach. So you mean to tell me when I approach you and we make each other's acquaintance, I just met you. We're not meeting in love. You don't even know if you like me yet. After a few conversations and hanging out a little bit, then we'll begin to say, you know what, Craig, he's pretty cool. I like him. And I'll say, dang, you know what, John is a cool dude. I like him. And we can begin to form a brotherhood from that. And pretty soon, when we are brothers who act like brothers, love introduces itself to both of us. Now I love this brother. Now, well, Craig, I beg to differ. I can love people and not like them. I don't give a damn whether you beg to differ or not. I'm telling you, it's some funny style shit that's been taught to us. It's talking points that's been taught to us and things that we pick up through our lives, listening to the bullshit that we pick up with people around us, whether it's church or otherwise. You can love someone, you don't have to like them, you can love them. So you mean to tell me I'm supposed to love my enemy? Who's trying to kill me? I'm supposed to love these individuals who I don't know well enough to even like. It's a process. When you say I don't like her or I don't like him, you're talking about the entire individual. But then you want to turn around and talk about you love him. I love him and I don't like him. Are you considering what you're saying? Him. Him is the whole of the person. Her is the whole of the person. Now, it makes more sense when you say, I love him, but and I like him. It's just a few things that I don't like about him or don't like about her. That makes more sense to me. Like comes before love. Stop telling yourself and telling other people, well, I love him, but I don't like him. Consider what I'm saying. That's not intelligent. Because how can I love you and not like your ass? No. I have to like you before I even begin to love you. That's a process. That's a process. The people that I know who are closest to me today, we liked each other first because it was a process of getting to know one another. And then, I'm sorry. And then one day, love showed up. One day, love showed up. And now we have a dual situation going on, love and like. And a whole lot of other dynamics open up when these twins show up. I like her. I like him. Which gives me permission to continue to search out this individual, to give this person the time of day, to take an interest in what interests him. And vice versa. To take an interest in what interests her and vice versa. Because I like her enough to do that. And somewhere along the way on the journey of discovering one another or rediscovering one another, as we redirect our lives together to get to where we want to go, which is the mountaintop of our lives, the zenith, along the way, love knocks on the door and says, hey, you know you love him, right? Hey, you know you love her, right? And then it dawns on you, damn, I do. So stop telling me, I can love them, but I love people that I don't like. Yeah, you can love some people and have some things that you don't like about them, but you're talking about not liking someone, then consider the whole person. I don't like him versus I don't like some things about him. I don't like her versus some things about her I dislike. Put the shit in context so it makes sense. And lastly, stop trying to project what you see, think, and feel and what you believe onto other people. That church mindset is still rampant for a lot of the people who have ran out of the church and have found something new, something else to be churchy about, like this African spirituality, African spiritual mystery system, which is a great thing if you have the proper understanding and taking on names and things of that nature, which is great if you have the proper understanding. But someone knows more than what you know. There are levels to this shit. And if someone doesn't see things your way, if the circumference of their understanding supersedes yours, or maybe yours supersedes theirs. That is not a green light for you to try to project what you know onto them or belittle or berate them because they don't know what you know, or if they don't see it the way you see it, then that means they can't see it at all. Stop that shit and stay in your lane. Do what you do. And if you want somebody to know something, have some sense in how you approach them. This has been the Samuel's Perspective, where we have grown folk dialogue. You don't have to like it. I hope you do. I was going to open the phone lines, but I decided not to. Next week, I will have the lines open for those of you who do tune in, because I have what I consider a special treat. Another good conversation. But this has been the Samuel's Perspective, and I hope that I've said something that caused at least one of you to consider what I'm saying about your approach and who you allow to approach you and what that looks like. And the consequences, both good and bad, positive and negative, because there are positive consequences. And it's based on the decision you make, and the decision starts with what you allow yourself to become susceptible to. Where is your esteem meter, your competence meter? Where is it? And if you don't know, then that's your project until you find out. That's your project until you find out. Give yourself time, brothers and sisters, when you meet someone. And the game that you have is not the game of, hey, baby, this, that, and the other, like your boy Jerome from Martin. That's not what I'm talking about when I say game. You heard me earlier. Have yourself together. That's your game. Be honest with yourself, and be honest in your approach. Be genuine. I heard a lyric by, I think it was MJG, who said, a man ain't who he say he is if he got to give false information about what he has and how he lives. Same thing goes for the sister. A man or woman ain't who he say he is if he has to give false information about what he has and how he lives. What does your approach look like? And how tight is your game? Normally, I have a quote that I leave with you at the end of each broadcast. And today will be no different. And I'll leave you with this. The purity of time was birthed by love from the womb of eternity. That same purity has made the fluid of the amniotic sac a life-giving nectar. Consider your approach, brothers and sisters, and consider who you allow to approach you, because the process is detrimental based on the decision you make. Good night.